Yeah? You know, last week we began on being the baptism with the Holy Spirit. All right? And what's another word for baptism? What does baptism really mean? Immersion. Okay, we need to get this. Okay, baptism means immersion. Turn to somebody and say, immersion. Immersion. Okay, that's what it is. Because we get all caught up with some religious thing about baptism. It means immersion. A visual illustration of that is when you make dip chai. Dip tea, you know what that is? They give you an option. What tea do you want? Dip or normally? You know, and so dip is when you take a tea bag and you baptize it in hot water. Yeah, that's what it is. All right? So that's what you do. You baptize a tea bag in hot water, and that's the meaning of immersion. We've got to understand it and get out of religious mindset. Now, in the New Testament, we see that four times, not once, not twice, not three times, four times it's recorded in the Gospels, and once in the book of Acts, so that's five times it's recorded that Jesus is the one who will baptize us or will immerse us with the Holy Spirit. So, Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water. Let's just turn to Matthew 3:11, just to look at that there. And I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, who's saying these words? It's John the Baptist. Okay? And who is he saying it to? He's saying it to people who had gathered to him to be immersed in water. So if you look at in Matthew 3, that's where it said, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, so John the Baptist went around baptizing people in the river, immersing people in the River Jordan. And to these same people, he says, listen, I'm immersing you in water, but Jesus will immerse you with the Holy Spirit. Okay, So we need to understand the importance of this because Jesus himself spoke about it. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Jesus, after he rose from the dead, we remember Jesus died on the cross and then he rose from the dead. And in verse 5, this is what he says. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but it starts at verse 4. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be immersed in the Holy Spirit. So do you think being immersed with the Holy Spirit is important? Let me hear you. It's important. It's very, very important. Now, one of the things we need to be clear about is that when we are immersed with the Holy Spirit, we know it. Imagine if you took somebody and you walking by a swimming pool and you pushed him in and he got immersed in the water. Do you think he would know he's immersed? Yes, he would. Why? Because he's completely wet. He's drenched. You know, he may not be your friend after that, but he's wet. All right. So the same thing is when we are immersed with the Holy Spirit, the New Testament account says people knew about it. The person who was immersed knew it. The people who were watching knew it. Okay? It's similar to getting married. Yeah? You're either married or you're not. You ask Christy, are you married? He doesn't have to think about it. He may get a slap from the person next to him, you know, but he'll say, yes. Now you ask Austin the same question. Austin will say, no, not yet. It's only how many days? 35 days. See, He's looking forward to that. Okay, so it's something that you know about. It's not something that happens secretly to you, that you don't know about it and nobody else knows about it. And so this is a very, very important thing. Can we just pray this morning? All right, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand it. And we want to be immersed with the Holy Spirit as well. Father, we thank you for your amazing promise, Lord, that you promised us that you would immerse us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we want that this morning. Lord, we want more of you. Would you anoint these words that I'm going to preach? And would you come and fill us and immerse us with your Holy Spirit, that we would be transformed people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, what is the result of being immersed with the Holy Spirit? Okay, we look at let's look at what Jesus has to say. This is what Jesus says in verse 8. He says, but you will receive, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. So one of the things that happens, definitely, is that there is a change in that person. They receive power to become witnesses. Okay? So one thing that happens to them is they have boldness. To be a witness, you need to be bold. Okay? There's boldness that happens, which is totally contrary to their personality. The second thing that happens is there is power. That means they could do something that they couldn't do earlier. And the third thing included with that is there's praise or prophecy that comes out of their mouths. And we look at that subsequently. Okay, so there's power, there's boldness, and there's prophecy or praise. Now, Joel chapter 2, verse 28 spoke about this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So hundreds of years before it actually happened, Joel spoke about it and he says, Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And Joel says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. So it talks about dreams, visions, and prophecy. And this was prophesied many years before Jesus came on the scene. And on the day of Pentecost, we'll jump to Acts chapter 2, we see that on the day of Pentecost, this is what happened. Okay? Chapter 2, verse 1. When they were all together on the day of Pentecost, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. These are the disciples who were there. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Okay, so here we see that what Joel prophesied hundreds of years earlier was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost when these, I think it was 120 disciples, gathered together in the upper room to pray and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And Peter explains to the crowd that gathered when they heard these people speaking in different languages. And Peter explained in verse 14, it says, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. You know, it's tongues of fire, people speaking in different languages. He says, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. All right? So this is the explanation to what happens. Now, we, most of us, maybe all of us, have put our faith in Jesus. Wonderful. The Holy Spirit is what enabled us to come to faith. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. Great. And is that enough? Okay, the Bible clearly says these 120 who were there were already followers of Jesus. They were believers. They believed in Jesus. There's Peter and John and James and all of them. They had put their faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit was in them. That was fine. But they had not yet received the promise of the Father. This filling with the Holy Spirit. This immersion with the Holy Spirit. You know, but when they received it, we don't have time to get into all of that this Sunday, but when they received it, they were transformed people. Tell me, honestly, aren't you sometimes afraid to go and share the gospel with people? How many of you are there? I know I am. Yeah? Yeah. What will they say? Will they reject us? Will they hit us? Will they, you know? So we feel timid. We feel shy. We feel diffident. Now, the apostles, these 120, were like that. Do you know, on the day when Jesus died from the dead and when he rose from the dead, you know what they were doing? They were behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. Okay, that's what they were doing. They were behind locked doors in John chapter 20, verse 19. It speaks about that. They were behind locked doors because they feared the Jews. Peter, the great apostle, in Matthew 26, verse 69, when Jesus was arrested and was taken to be crucified, Peter was afraid of a servant girl. Look at that, Matthew 2. Now, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. What did he do? Did he give him a tract? Did he share the gospel? Next verse. "But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about." Wow. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, he was not immersed in the Holy Spirit at that time. This same Peter, who was afraid of a little servant girl, on the day of Pentecost, after he received the Holy Spirit, and a few days later, look at Acts chapter 4. Okay, in Acts chapter 4, we spoke about power. Peter and John performed a miracle. In chapter 3, they healed a crippled man, all right? And then they were arrested for that. And in chapter 4, they were before the priests and the elders. In verse 13, it says, sorry, not verse 13, we go back, verse 8. 6, 7. Okay, but just before verse 8 at verse 5, "The next day the rulers, the elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there. So were Caiaphas, John, Alexander and other men of the high priest's family." These were all the big wigs in Jerusalem. Not a servant girl, big wigs. See what happens to Peter. "Then Peter and John," verse 7, Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this? You brought a crippled, made a crippled man walk." And see what Peter did. Did he say, "I don't know anything"? Look what he did. The next verse, 8. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed.'" Wow. Can you see the difference between Peter before he was filled with the Holy Spirit and after? We must make one of those ads. You know, you saw those dieting ads, before and after, you know, all those things. But this is it. Servant girl. "No, I don't know him." "You crucified Jesus Christ." Wow. That's the difference the Holy Spirit can make in our lives. Now, you know, one of the unfortunate things in the Christian world is so much division about baptism or immersion with the Holy Spirit. And really, what we don't want to get into all the details, but we need to realize one thing. We are born again. That's great. The Holy Spirit does that, comes to dwell in us. The next thing is we need to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. But it's not just once, okay? we need to be continually, the Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's not just a one. Now, baptism in water is very important, but it's a one-time thing. Okay, you don't say, you know, next week I'm getting baptized and the next week I'm going to get baptized again. No. Baptism is water once. Very important, but once. Immersion in the Holy Spirit, yeah, the first time it happens, they call it baptism with the Holy Spirit. That's fine. Whatever you call it, just get immersed. But it's not only once. Let's look at that. Okay? You know, on the disciples, soon after what happened to Peter and John, the church gathered for prayer. Okay, in Acts chapter 4, they gathered to verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. You know, the chief priests and elders said, don't preach anymore. But Peter and John said, we are going to preach. Okay? And then the church gathered and they spoke. See, and they prayed. Verse 24, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, you know, and that's the prayer we need to make every day. He says, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David, our father. And it goes on. Verse 28. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. That's what they prayed. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders. He says, enable us to perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. 31. After they prayed, the place where they was meeting, where they were meeting, was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. These are the same people who, and more, who had been filled with the Holy Spirit, immersed with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, but they were filled again. Okay, in Ephesians 5 verse 18 it says, "Do not get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." So being immersed in the Holy Spirit is not a one-time thing. It needs to happen at a definite time, but then it needs to happen again and again and again. Are you seeing it in the scripture? All right, now we don't have time to get into everything, but I'll tell you the difference between a Christian who is immersed in the Holy Spirit and who is not. Everybody look up. Can you see that fan there? And can you see the other fans that are turning? Yeah? Both are fans. Same thing. But this one lacks the power. That's right. It's there. It's got everything that is needed to do, to serve its purpose, but it does not have power. And Jesus said, when you are immersed with the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. How much power? I mean, look at what happened when these guys were filled with power. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. All right? Many signs. What are these signs and wonders? He said, look at verse 15. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. That's power. Your shadow is so powerful. That's power. You know, I mean, think about it. Can you do anything with your shadow? You can't move an ant with your shadow. But when you're immersed with the Holy Spirit, see what happens. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits and all of them were healed. Wow. All right. So that is what we are looking for. Now, is that our experience? No. My shadow has not healed anybody. But you know what? We should not equate our experience or put our experience above the word of God. We've got to say, this is the word. This is what I believe. I'm going to pray and work on it till my experience catches up with God's word. Okay? What do we need to do about it? Okay, two things this morning. Number one is we need to be people who are saying, Lord, you need to be thirsty. In John 7:30, Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and streams of living water will flow from within him. You've got to be thirsty and say, I want more of the Holy Spirit. If you're not thirsty, you know, you can be, your thirst can be quenched. And there can be the most wonderful drinks there. But you say, I'm not thirsty anymore. Or a wonderful buffet, and you're full. You can't eat another olive, if you like olives. You know, but you're just full. You know? So to receive, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we've got to be thirsty. That's the first thing. The second thing is we've got to pray as the early disciples. They prayed. They prayed. Luke 11, verse 11 to 13. This is what they did. This is what Jesus said. You know, Luke 11, 11 to 13. Praying for the Holy Spirit. He says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, I mean, just think about it. If your son asks for a fish, which father will say, will give him a snake? Nobody in his right mind would do that. And Jesus is saying, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So we've got to be thirsty, we've got to be people who will ask, and we've got to be people who will believe that the immersion, when you're immersed, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus will fill you and give you power. Now, how will you know if you have power? Okay, two things. One is, you know, imagine you have a jug or a glass and you're filling it with juice and you have a big jug and you fill it to the brim. What happens? It'll overflow. It will overflow, right? And that's how you know that, you know, the glass is full. Imagine it's a glass and you can't see what is in it. You just keep filling and you know that it is full when it overflows. And the same thing with us. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is in our heart, we're filled. There is an overflow that will happen. We will start praising God like the believers did on the day of Pentecost and subsequently. The proof is that you will speak the wonders of God. You will proclaim the glories of God. You know, some of us may have received the gift of tongues. Wonderful. Okay? Some of us may just praise God in our own languages. That's wonderful. The important thing is the overflow. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, and this, how else do you know? One is the overflow. The second thing is, it is an experiential thing. Every incident in the New Testament, you don't have time to go through it, the people experienced something. They felt something. Okay? Martin Lloyd-Jones gave us his example. He said, imagine a father walking with his little son. All right? He's holding his hand. They're walking. They're having a wonderful time together. Great. And then suddenly the father swoops down and picks up his son and gives him a hug and gives him a kiss and says, I love you. You are my son. I'm your father. I'm thrilled with you. And he kisses him and he dances with him and then he puts him down. Is there a difference between the two things he did? Yes, this was just walking. The son knows the father is with him. But when he takes him in his arms and kisses him and hugs him and speaks to him, the boy's heart will be filled with great delight and joy. And that is what happens with the immersion of the Holy Spirit. You will be filled with such joy knowing the love of the Father. Amen. Now, we're going to pray for that this morning. And there's one more thing, is this. We want to see power. How do you know if God has anointed you with the Holy Spirit and given you power to heal? Do you know, how do you know? Is it that your nose will start glowing or your ears will start glowing or something? Then you know you've got the power. How do you know? Anybody? That's right. You go and pray for the sick. In faith, you pray. It's God who heals. But He'll heal through you, okay? Now, the first time, you may not see the result, but you just keep doing it in faith. That's what you do, you know? You pray, you spend time with God. Lord, more of your Holy Spirit. Pray, spend time with God. You know, there was John Wimber. He started a huge movement called the Vineyard Movement and really brought to the Christian world in the last 30 years the importance of being filled with the Spirit and praying for the sick. And he saw great signs and wonders and miracles. When he started off, he said, "Everybody I prayed for died." Oh no. You know, they would call him to pray for somebody. Now, wouldn't you be discouraged? He said, "Everybody I prayed for died." You know, they must have been suffering from a serious illness or whatever, you know. But one day, some new people came to the church, so they didn't know about his reputation. So they called him to pray for the person who was sick. And, you know, this person was, I can't remember the exact name, but paralyzed or couldn't walk. And he went there and he just prayed. And he didn't have too much faith. And he just turned and went off. And these people called him and said, "Listen, this person got healed." And that's what began an amazing healing ministry. So don't be discouraged, okay? You are called to step out in faith. The Holy Spirit working through you will heal and do mighty signs and wonders and miracles. Amen. All right. Now, this morning, would you like to be immersed in the Holy Spirit? You've got to be thirsty. If you're not thirsty, you know what Jesus said. Okay, if you are thirsty, I'd like you to come up right in front here. And we're going to pray. Remember, Jesus is the one who will immerse you. The Holy Spirit can be poured out from above and on the laying of hands. But if you are thirsty this morning, why don't you come forward? We want to see, you know, I'm tired of being like that fan. I want to be like the other one. What about you? All right? So I want the ministry team, we'll come forward, the core group, gym leaders, come forward. And if you'd like to be prayed for, come forward. We want to pray for you this morning. We don't have much time. Come. Yeah, ministry team, come forward. Those who want to be prayed, line up against this mat here. Yeah, ministry team, stand this side. Yeah. Sorry?
Sure.
All right, come. Yeah, just form a line here against this thing. Yeah, just help make the line, a straight line. Just come. All right, great. We can extend the line even that side. Just make a straight line. Okay. Jonah. Okay. Great. Yeah, just make a straight line. So we just come, Sandra, that side. Wonderful. All right. Okay. You want to be immersed with the Holy Spirit. Remember, who's the one who immerses? Jesus. It's Jesus. We can't do anything. It's Jesus. All right? Well, now, why don't you just, you know, lift your hands up to heaven. Looking up to Jesus. That's what we're doing. All right? And the rest of us, we just like to just lay hands on them. Just go to people, lay hands on them. We're going to pray. Lord Jesus, in your word, you promised that you will be the one who will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Lord, we look to you this morning and we say, come by your Spirit, Lord Jesus. Would you fill us all with your Holy Spirit, Lord? We've stepped out in faith. You said, if anybody is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Lord, we are thirsty for you, Lord. We only want you. Lord, we want to be used by you. Lord, we want boldness and power. We want to praise you and prophesy. That's what your word says, Lord. We want to see that happen. Lord, would you come now by your Holy Spirit, Lord? Would you come and fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord? Would you immerse us, Lord? We want power from on high. Oh, Lord Jesus, come. Come by your Spirit, Lord. Come by your Spirit. Look to Jesus. Oh, why don't you pray out now? Say, Lord Jesus, I want more of your Spirit. Come and fill me. Come. You pray out aloud. You ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, pray for Vikram, Lord.